Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Alejandro Zuniga is here with me. This is a episode about the end of Ward Manuel's tenure as Michigan's athletic director. Monday morning, the old Monday morning news drop, Michigan announced that Ward Manuel, who has been athletic director since January 2016, will be stepping down at the end of the calendar year. So he'll get roughly 11 years at the helm. We'll talk a little bit about what happened, why it happened, why now, why stepping down at the end of the calendar year, all that. We'll also look back on his tenure as Michigan's athletic director, because you look at Michigan's athletic director history, you know, each director's a little bit like of a chapter of the department's history. So we'll look back on that, and then we'll also discuss, although probably the shortest segment of the three, what should Michigan be looking for and prioritize in its next athletic director. You can read about all this and more over at themichiganinsider.com. Good time to subscribe. There's been lots of insider bits, both in recruiting, and then obviously fall camp is starting up soon, so be sure to check all of that out, as well as several stories already about Ward Manuel and how this all went down. So, Alejandro, I'll send it over to you, but they were investigating the athletic department and the culture stemming from the Sharon Moore investigation. They were investigating the investigation in some ways, and though they released an outline of the findings, they didn't necessarily tie that to this decision. It certainly comes after a week of speculation that this might be the end for Ward Manuel. So your thoughts on the outline of the findings that Michigan released, as well as the decision coming today?
I mean, first things first, I'm glad Michigan released something. It's imperative that a university that's a public university and one that is relies on our tax dollars and the state of Michigan as a whole and on the country as a whole to operate, that there's some accountability and some transparency. I'm not super shocked by the news. I think that as we've discussed on this show and we've discussed over at the Michigan Insider, there's very clearly been a couple of different forces at play. There's been a force that for a long time has wanted Ward Manuel to be out as athletic director and has been working behind the scenes to try and make that happen. Obviously, Ward Manuel has come out and defended his own actions and spoken to his track record and done what he could to stick around. And then you have this third arm, which is an investigation into his behavior and into the athletic department as a whole. And what it finds is essentially, like, there are concerns, but there's no widespread misconduct. And what I'm reading, maybe reading through the lines here of what both President Domenico Grasso said in a statement and then in the overview of the Jenner and Block investigation that the university released, is that it doesn't seem like there was, you know, a smoking gun, a fireable offense where you could cut ties with an athletic director without having to pay him a hefty buyout. And that would be a hefty buyout on top of an already hefty sum, reportedly $12 million that Michigan has paid for this investigation. So were there reasons for concern? Clearly, yes, as we'll talk about as discussed in this investigation and found in this report. But it wasn't widespread misconduct, and it wasn't necessarily all on the shoulders of one individual, of Ward Manuel. So I think there's some nuance to it, and I'm glad that Michigan released something. But ultimately, I also hope that there's an opportunity for the public, for us as reporters, to ask questions of the Board of Regents, to ask questions of the president of the University of Michigan. You know, there's some things that clearly have to stay confidential because there's active litigation against the University of Michigan, because you want to protect, you know, you want to protect people who are whistleblowers and are going to speak truthfully when they're interviewed in investigations like this, but there also should be transparency. And that's one thing that Domenico Grasso said in his statement, is that he felt like, or the report found, that there was interference from the highest levels of the university. And that, for me, is the biggest ultimate red flag. That goes beyond Ward Manuel, that goes beyond the athletic department, that there was some interference from the highest level of the university. And if you want to take the first steps toward correcting that, part of that is being accountable and answering questions about this $12 million report you commissioned. And hopefully, we get the opportunity to do that, as opposed to just reading and blindly accepting this summary that Michigan has provided and this video statement that Michigan provided through Domenico Grasso. So, this is obviously, as we're recording this, Zach, just an hour or two after the news broke. But those are my initial thoughts when I saw the report. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the same thoughts. As I've been saying for a week, I mean, if you're going to do an eight-figure investigation as the largest public university in one of the largest states in the country, yeah, you're going to have to at some point either release it or, show meaningful transparency. FAQ page gets the ball rolling, but yeah, I think eventually, you do have to make yourself open to the public, whether it's press conference or more releasings or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of people with a lot of questions and they deserve answers. I mean, maybe not every single detail. I understand that sometimes investigations are of a more personal nature. I get it to that extent, but yeah, this is a public institution, is publicly funded, and some of that money went to a very expensive investigation, reportedly eight figures. So yeah, definitely curious what will be done. I'm skeptical. I'm not exactly expecting very much, just knowing how the University of Michigan historically has operated, but we shall see. As far as Ward's involvement, I think we'll find out maybe if there was like a direct hire, a smoking gun. But Alejandro, you and I were talking about this in December. At some point, this many negative headlines is a weakness of an athletic director and athletic department. So, I think there was a line in the findings that was kind of to the tune of identified failures to quickly and effectively act on allegations of wrongdoing by athletic department employees. And I think the failure to quickly and effectively act, we'll talk about Ward Manuel's legacy. I mean, there were strengths, but I think one of the weaknesses is there's been a lot of headlines, a lot of investigations, a lot of bad PR, and certainly, I mean, everyone's going to have their own opinion on what an athletic director's role in that is to be, but this particular recent thing that was investigated, the improper relationship with Sharon Moore, I think to me that was just indicative of an athletic department that really just did not seem to capture the weight and the gravity of allegations of misconduct. It just seemed like there's been a pattern, and then this one was just, it was a little bit more clear that there was a pattern of not letting things go, but maybe not wanting to rock the boat until it was convenient to do so. So, I mean, that to me, that's my thought is, there's not a smoking gun. Ward Manuel, obviously. We'll see if there's more in the investigation, but I don't know if there was a standalone fireable offense. But there is definitely a pattern of messiness and, yeah, reactive leadership from the athletic department. So that's kind of what stands out to me in terms of Ward Manuel's role in this, is that it's happened enough with enough different investigations, or whether it's from the NCAA or internal or whatever, yeah, the pattern at some point does become a flaw in leadership. I mean, if it just keeps happening over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, we can dive into legacy, but I do think that Ward Manuel has both benefited in some regard from a void of leadership at the University of Michigan, and I'm saying that with regards to there not really being a permanent president over the last couple of years at the university. So I think that's been a bit of a benefit to him, but it does seem, to me at least, pretty clear that if he had done something specifically wrong. If there had been a fireable offense, you wouldn't have, the current University of Michigan president, Domenico Grasso, coming out asking him to stick around until the turn of the calendar
Right.
year, and saying, saying, "I have the deepest respect for Ward Manuel and his countless contributions to Michigan." Like, that ultimately comes across as a more positive statement than you would expect if the findings had been that Ward Manuel had broken, protocols or broken rules or clearly ignored issues of misconduct. I mean, I think I've said this before, is that with a lot of Ward Manuel's tenure and a lot of these scandals, you look at them and you can see a reasonable path for most of them as to why he or the athletic department took the actions that it took. For example, like with Sherrone Moore and the allegations of an inappropriate relationship, like there is some level where you say, okay, like if you're the athletic director and you hear these rumors and you ask both parties and they both say no, you're not an investigative body. Like, what is your responsibility? And what more can you do if there's no proof? And I think that's something that's a reasonable response. But then when, as you mentioned, Zach, you look back through the decade of his tenure and the number of incidents, like, it's not a good sign when opposing fan bases know the name of your athletic director, right? If you're a
That's
Michigan
true.
fan, like,
Or when they start talking about the investigation and you have to ask which one.
right, exactly. Like, it just comes to a point where it does become a bit of an egg on the face of the University of Michigan, and we're going to talk about a lot of the positives that have resulted from Ward Manuel's tenure as well, but this period will also be remembered for the just constant drip of scandals. I was at an NIL event yesterday with the football and basketball teams, and just talking to people behind the scenes and talking about how busy of a summer it's been, how busy the last couple of weeks have been. And for all of us, it's like, yeah, that's just a typical Michigan summer. It's like there's it seems like regularly every few months there's something that comes up that goes beyond the covering of just a sports team, or that goes beyond the coverage of just an athletic department or a university. Like, there's actual incidents and actual questions, and some of them are silly. Some of them are not all that serious, and they are sporting related. But some of them are significantly more serious, including, what happened within the hockey program. What happens, with Matt Weiss as an offensive coordinator and his off the field actions. And again, that there's nuance, because this isn't all, of course, on one athletic director or maybe even one institution. But the fact of the matter remains is that if all of these incidents are occurring, like, this is a pattern of misbehavior. And the common thread is that they are happening at the University of Michigan. You've got to have some sort of change. Fairly or not, you've got to have some sort of change to try to break that pattern, because you're the University of Michigan, because you call yourselves the leaders and best, and very clearly, like, they have been far from that, in certain regards for the last few years.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Well, this will tell you a little bit about the last week. Last Monday, I wrote a story about Ward, I pre-wrote a story of Ward Manuel either stepping down or buyout or whatever, and just kind of listing all the scandals. I'm like, this is a way too long of a list for someone who, has been athletic director for that many years. I mean, I'd be curious if another program has a longer list in terms of, like, internal investigations, NCAA investigations, and FBI investigation. It just kind of, yeah, it adds up quickly, and that's not a strength. I mean, that's, Michigan, we obviously interact with Michigan fans a lot. The standard is higher than that. It shouldn't be this busy of an off season. Even though, I mean, college athletics has definitely changed. Like, the days of everyone going away for 2 or 3 months, those are obviously gone. Transfer portal, the draft, coaching changes, that stuff's all year now. But a lot of investigations is, I guess, the way to put it. As far as looking back on Ward Manuel's tenure, obviously that's probably the low, is A lot of investigations, not a lot of press conferences. I was thinking about this. I think the last actual press conference Ward Manuel had was 2017, 2018. He had some Zoom press conferences too during COVID, so I guess I'll acknowledge that. But it did seem like he, in terms of actual, like, hey, I'm going to speak on Tuesday, come bring your questions. Not a lot of those, which I think speaks to the transparency and accountability a little bit. But I will point out this. In his, what, 10 years, Michigan Athletics won 80 Big Ten championships. There's like seven or eight schools that have won football and basketball national championships. It happened in his tenure. And obviously Michigan had done it before in both sports, but to do both in a span of, what, 3 years, is very, very, that's not something to take for granted. I mean, certainly Ward Manuel wasn't out winning the championships, but I think looking across the board, I think something I'll point out as a strength of his is he really did let coaches run the programs the way they wanted to run. And that was something I heard not just from football and basketball coaches. I heard that from all levels of varsity sports at Michigan Athletics, including coaches who had been coaches under previous athletic directors, is that Ward was really supportive and trusting, and it was more of a what do you need to win a championship, not prying into the every little detail. The facilities, a lot of the upgrades occurred kind of in the front half of his tenure. They weren't necessarily all designed or approved when he was in charge, but overseeing some of that. Yeah, I think to me the biggest strength of Ward Manuel's athletic directors, I do feel like he made the coaches and a decent amount of the athletes too. I mean, Alejandro, maybe you either agree or disagree, but it did seem like they genuinely felt supported by Ward Manuel, and trusted by Ward Manuel. I think you could argue some of the investigations, maybe he was too trusting or too capable of just letting coaches kind of run their own thing. When obviously there's a lot of factors at play that are beyond just winning the games and winning championships that the athletic departments need to keep in mind. But yeah, to me, I think the biggest strength, I mean, hard not to argue with the results. I mean, in his 10 years, 10 years, 10 year tenure, Michigan, national championship in football, men's basketball, both men's and women's gymnastics, but they also made College World Series, several Frozen Fours. I'm not going to give him credit for softball making the Women's College World Series in 2016 because he just got there, but it did seem like softball, obviously won several Big Ten championships. I think you could look across the board, and I think the fact that they had a top eight finish in 22 of their 27 varsity sports, I don't know if there's maybe Texas and Stanford, not a lot of schools can make that claim. Top eight finish in all but five sports, won Big Ten titles in 20 of 27 sports. Which is, obviously the 80 in 10 years is a high number, but the widespread, I mean, every sport kind of had their moment, whether it was, field hockey or lacrosse had their moments, wrestling had, a national runner up. I mean, you can kind of go through all of the sports. They all kind of had these opportunities. And that's, I mean, in an older era of college athletics, that's really kind of what you're hoping for as an athletic director. And so obviously it became a lot more complicated. He entered the athletic director job at Michigan at a very turbulent time. I mean, the transfer portal has now become a thing. NIL revenue sharing have become things. The COVID, that whole impact on college athletics, I think that actually ended a lot of athletic director careers. If I'd have to look it up to provide a stat, but I'd be surprised. I'd be curious to see what percentage of athletic directors truly were doing it in 2016 and are still doing it in 2026. So, yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the on-field success, other than a few hires that I think were uninspired, whether they were internal promotions or hiring a first-time head coach, there were a couple hires that were dicey, but it did feel like almost every sport, I think, would argue that they felt like they had what they needed to compete for a Big Ten championship every year. And he was trusting of the coaches. I think the most notable of the trusting of the coaches is he trusted Jim Harbaugh when most of Michigan fans were ready to fire him. I think that's certainly a scenario where Ward. Obviously, people are going to talk about Ward, and he was maybe too trusting of coaches, and some of them left for professional jobs or whatever. But when most Michigan fans wanted him gone, Ward Manuel stuck with Jim Harbaugh, reduced his contract. We can argue the finer points of that if we wanted to, but Michigan's not winning a national championship in 2023. If Ward Manuel's listening to the court of public opinion in January 2021, Michigan's not winning three Big Ten titles. They're not going 40-3 over 3 seasons, including a national title. So, yeah, I think there was some things that Ward Manuel did that led to the success. I mean, Michigan's kind of always been pretty good at most sports. The Big Ten, they're always winning more Big Ten titles, at least before they expanded it to the West Coast teams. But for a long time, Michigan was kind of lapping the field in terms of the all sports success. But I do think in an era where that's harder to do, I think Ward Manuel set up, I mean, basketball has had both men's and women's have had a great decade. Hockey seems to be in, I mean, they're long history of success, but they seem to be where they need to be from an athletic director standpoint. I think he did a nice job of fostering or trusting the coaches to run the programs in the way that they can run. Because I think if you talk to coaches, a lot of athletic directors who overly pry or kind of dig in or say, "Hey, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that?" It can be negative. It can be a negative situation. Obviously, there's a balancing act. The investigations would suggest that, like hockey may be the perfect example. An athletic director stepping in sooner, or if they hearing rumors of this or that, maybe more due diligence before it needs to be a gigantic investigation, might have saved Michigan some trouble. I don't know. But yeah, I think the overall success stands out to me. I think, having said, I've been on the beat for Manuel's tenure and, covered College World Series championship, Frozen Four, football and basketball national championships. So that stands out to me. I think, again, the Harbaugh tenure, and then, the Dusty May hire. I know it only lasted 2 years, but Michigan had its worst. I mean, you could argue Ward Manuel was part of it, the reason, in terms of hiring a coach with no college experience, but they had their worst season in program history 2 years later. Ward Manuel speaking on the court at the national championship. So that Dusty May hire stands out to me as well. What are you going to remember about the highs and lows of Ward Manuel's tenure as Michigan's athletic director?
Yeah, it's such a dichotomy, as you said, Zach, because yeah, you think back to a football national championship, a men's basketball national championship within the span of 3 years. Like that's pretty unprecedented. And given where both programs were in their history before those coaches were hired, those are pretty significant turnarounds and pretty remarkable accomplishments. And just to add on one more for you, the success across the athletic department. Michigan finished in the top 10 of the Learfield Director's Cup, which is like a basically a measure of how successful your athletic
Yep.
programs are as a whole. They were top 10 in 7 of 9 eligible years under Ward
Yep.
Manuel's tenure as athletic director. So that speaks to the success not only on the football field, not only obviously with men's basketball and the women's basketball programs, but across the board, across those 27 varsity sports. When I think back to Ward Manuel's tenure, I mean, in terms of positives, you touched on a lot of them. Obviously, he's going to highlight, the hire of Dusty May, and then the retention of Jim Harbaugh. Those are two instances where he nailed it in the two biggest sports at the university. So that kind of stands out by themselves. That being said, I also look to how the athletic department has performed as a whole through what's been a really tumultuous time in collegiate athletics. You mentioned COVID, Zach. I mean, Michigan athletics has come out of COVID and they are financially sustainable once again, right? And that was not an easy 2.5 years to be dealing with that. And then you add on top of that the whole revenue sharing, the NIL. Say what you will about Michigan's slow start, maybe in the NIL space. I do think that they were, in some ways, appropriately measured and appropriately smart in the way that they've pursued being front runners in a changing collegiate landscape, to the point where you look at the football program, you look at the basketball programs, you look at hockey, like Michigan is competing with the best of them in terms of player recruitment and player retention. They're doing so while the athletic department remains financially sustainable as a whole. They've got a balanced budget projected for this fiscal year. Like that's a lot of behind the scenes work that maybe doesn't get talked about a whole lot. And obviously Michigan comes from a position of immense privilege with a passionate, large, and pretty wealthy alumni base. But Michigan hasn't, fumbled the ball, so to speak. They have come out where you'd expect them to be, using their resources to kind of to maximize performance on the court or on the football field. And that speaks to an athletic department that in many ways is operating the right way. So I point to that, but like you said, Zach, like there's so many instances where that just raise questions and that raise concerns. And I think that Ward Manuel, speaking specifically to him, a bit of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. He stayed largely out of the public spotlight for the last 5, 6 years. It's only been the last year or so where, he started coming on with Sam Webb over with us at the Michigan Insider, but he hasn't done press conferences. He's done, maybe one-off interviews with the Detroit Free Press or the Detroit News, but he's largely stayed behind the scenes. And I think that often means that it's easier to, ascribe blame to him, as opposed to understand the praise that maybe he deserves. But also it doesn't give him an opportunity to explain why certain actions were taken, and it leaves open questions. Like for me, the biggest open question I have with Ward Manuel, my biggest hesitation with him is his handling of the hockey incident from several years ago. And we don't need to rehash all of it, but what we know is that there was a report commissioned into the culture of the hockey program that our belief, our knowledge is that it was turned into him and he had access to it for a couple of months where he let the contract of the head coach expire and did not do anything until that report became public because it got to the Board of Regents and then it leaked out through a national report in The Athletic. And that's what led to the hockey coaching change where Mel Pearson was not fired. They just told him, hey, you're not coaching under a contract. You're no longer a coach. And they had to promote Brandon Arado because he was, the season was about to start and he was the only coach on, within the program who hadn't really been explicitly mentioned in the report for having done anything wrong.
And now
And
he's
that,
made fro four Frozen
and now he's made
Fours.
for, so like it worked out, right? And ultimately, I believe the right action was taken in terms of the coaching change. But I don't think there's ever, like we
Very
haven't had a press
reactive,
conference. Yeah, we
not
haven't had a press
proactive.
conference with Ward Manuel where he's explained, hey, like this is why nothing happened for 2 months until it became a public and national news story. So yeah, you mentioned the word reactive, Zach. Like I think that's the perfect word is that for the most part, I felt like under Ward Manuel's leadership, like the right action was eventually taken, or a correct action, or generally a correct action was eventually taken, but it didn't always feel the most proactive. And it often felt like it leaned a bit too much on public pressure or things coming out, through unnamed sources, through media reports, in areas where a bit more proactivity, a bit more transparency could have actually served him very well. So, 10 years, a lot of highs. Those championship banners, those trophies, those celebrations, those memories, like those live forever. But at the same time, there are so many incidents that you can point to within the athletic department that are both, small potatoes, like just a bit embarrassing, to concerns of actual, of actual safety and security of employees and students and of the like as well.
That's ultimately what it was, is you're not going to be scandal free, and not at a program like Michigan, not, at this level in this era of college athletics. But some of those things could have been a lot less damaging to Michigan's reputation, or, as you mentioned, maybe not let a toxic culture continue longer than it needed to, or than it did, if you had been more proactive or just a little bit more receptive to complaints. Or like if you hear like internal complaints, every athletic director has kind of a judgment call and people that they're going to lean on and say, okay, what do we think of this? Yeah, it did feel like Michigan's athletic department, because it's not just Ward Manuel, did feel like the department was definitely skewed reactive over proactive over the last 10 years. Oh, one thing I will also note, and as we pivot to maybe what they should look for in the next athletic director, I'm curious your thoughts, because I've really only covered Ward Manuel. You were around for the Dave Brandon, Jim Hackett stuff, so you kind of can know what the other side looks like. But one more thing that I will give Ward Manuel credit for is it really did seem like he loved this job. It did seem like athletic directors, they don't always last a decade anymore, just because there are a lot of demands that are exhausting. But I was thinking just this morning, obviously after the news dropped, about his first press conference and how excited and eager he was. And I don't feel like he ever stopped loving the job. He played for Michigan. He worked at Michigan for 20 years before athletic director stints at Buffalo and UConn. And I mean, I think he genuinely enjoyed like talking to the athletes of different sports. It seemed like he genuinely knew a lot of them at more than just a "Hey, how you doing?" level. He was constantly at events. I think a lot of athletic departments are going a little bit more CEO in their athletic director hires, with the NIL, with the revenue sharing and all that. And that is something that I will give Ward Manuel credit for, is, I never got the, for better or for worse, I never got the impression he felt like a CEO. I think he felt a little bit more personally involved in the athletic department. And, I think his, for better or for worse, he just genuinely loved Michigan and wanted to be a part of all the fun. And so I'll give you a chance, but what should Michigan be looking for in its next athletic director? I actually think if it can find someone who's going to genuinely like enjoy that part of the job, I think that can be a strength. I don't think it should be the strength. I think, there's too many other things that are important right now. But I that is something that was just kind of thinking or standing out to me is, it did seem like he genuinely loved the college athletics and Michigan athletics in the same way its fans do. So that was something that stood out to me. But Alejandro, you covered Dave Brandon, you covered Jim Hackett, you obviously covered Ward Manuel the past few years as well. What should be at the top of the mind? I mean, it's easy to just look at Ward Manuel's biggest weakness and say, okay, no scandals. But also, what should they be looking for in this next athletic director, just knowing the state of Michigan and college athletics right now?
I think there's something really big to be said for an athletic director who understands, what it means to be a Michigan athlete, or if not necessarily a Michigan athlete, but who understands what's important to the Michigan fan base, and to the people who are ultimately going to be supporting both financially and through their time and interest, the programs that you're in charge of. I think I agree with you wholeheartedly, Zach, is I think back to the Dave Brandon tenure, and it felt so often like the decisions that were taken under his administration were purely financially based, and didn't respect the traditions, didn't looked at fan support and fan love as, an unquenchable resource, like unlimited. Like you could put a Kraft, macaroni noodle at the Big House, and nobody would care, sort of thing, right? And especially in modern collegiate athletics, where so much of collegiate athletics has become financial, I do think it's important for Michigan to have someone who understands that, like, yes, there are going to be decisions that have to be financially focused, right? Like, there will probably be a patch on a uniform. There will probably be advertising at the big house. That there are things that maybe you have to do to remain financially not only solvent, but like to make money. To make money so you can remain
To stay
competitive.
competitive, yeah.
Yeah,
I
stay
think that's a.
competitive. That's the PC way of saying it. And ultimately, like, they do want to remain competitive. They also want to make money. But to have someone who can understand it and can understand why the fan base is hesitant of some of those moves and can make those moves tactfully, so that it doesn't, spit in the face of 100+ years of tradition. At the same time, I would love an athletic director, or a leader, it's someone who's in such a position of power who is not, who is willing to acknowledge the shortcomings of many of the iconic faces of the University of Michigan of previous years. Like, Bo Schembechler was a fantastic football coach. He was athletic director. He has a statue outside a building named after him, where the football program operates. That does not mean that Bo Schembechler was an unfallible human who did not make his own mistakes. And I think it's important that anyone in a position of power at the University of Michigan is willing to both celebrate the successes, but also acknowledge the shortcomings in whatever way they are able to, legally or not, to do so.
Yeah, those are all fair points. I think if I were to summarize what I would look for in an athletic director right now, if I were Michigan, I think I would be very mindful of stakeholder and shareholder mindset, because obviously those are two different things. There's the people who are financially tied, and I think you think about NIL, that's the new arms race. For a long time, it was like facilities and apparel deals and things like that. Now you also have to pay the players. And so I think you do have to be financially savvy in terms of shareholders. I mean, you've got schools coming up with private equity deals. I think Alejandro and I are both against those, but the general consensus is if you want to keep contending for championships, you do have to find a way to continually increase, optimize your revenue. In a way that you aren't running a deficit each year, you aren't, overspending on this or under earning on that. So I think that has to be kept in mind. But Alejandro, to your point, I think the stakeholder component needs to factor in as well. How are you bridging, whether it's the former players, the former athletes, whether it's donors, whether it's the fans who don't donate but maybe go to games or care deeply about the University of Michigan, whether it's the university itself, the coaches. I mean, there's so many stakeholders in Michigan athletics, so many people who this means a lot to. So, yeah, I think finding that balance, and so I think in terms of what that looks like, in terms of who they would look for, I don't have a hot board. This is a lot harder to put together than like a coaching hot board, just because they could come from the financial sector, they could come from a university, they can come from within, they could come from, I mean, there could be all sorts of candidates, a little harder to track. But I think if I were Michigan, I would absolutely look for large public university athletic director experience. Power Four conference, I should say. I think if you're Michigan, I don't think you're trying to bring someone in who's new. I mean, perhaps they have a candidate they've been waiting several years for, but I think if I were assessing how Michigan did on this hire, I would be a lot more positive about, say, a sitting Big Ten athletic director, a sitting ACC athletic director, than someone that no one's really ever heard of, that hasn't had to deal with the revenue sharing, hasn't had to deal with NIL, hasn't had to deal with large fan base of people with varying opinions and the media scrutiny and all of that. I think experience is going to matter. If they have ties to Michigan, that can be beneficial in the sense of what you mentioned, Alejandro, in terms of both the good and bad, but knowing what Michigan athletics means to so many people. But ultimately, I think most power conference schools are going to provide that sort of litmus test to see how the athletic director handles it. I think if you can find someone who's made the financial side work, but doesn't do it like a CEO, because I think Michigan fans agree or disagree, but you know, I think Dave Brandon is maybe that classic example of I think actually in the modern era, some of his ideas might have been effective, you know, in terms of increasing revenue and in terms of being innovative, cutting edge. But the way he handled it, it really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way and probably set Michigan back in a few key areas. You know, I think that's the game every traditional athletic department is playing right now, is how do you implement ads at the stadium or ads on the jerseys or, you know, other, not just ads, but other modern advancements in terms of maximizing revenue without taking away. I mean, there's a reason so many people like college athletics more than pro athletics. The saturation of the revenue, that's a big part of it. You know, I think ultimately it's obviously changing regardless, and Michigan can't fully resist that change. But I think an athletic director who maybe, whether it's they were a former player, were a former college athlete, or maybe have been with programs or athletic departments that still kind of hold on to that, the allure, the reason people love college athletics, that didn't necessarily completely turn into a pro light, version of college athletics. I think that would be valuable. I think someone who doesn't carry themselves as a CEO, I think that can be a strength. If you know, you're someone who connects with athletes, connects with coaches, connects with fans, the worst case scenario for Michigan, in my opinion, would be a completely financially driven person who really doesn't care about fans, athletes, coaches. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they would hire someone like that, but I think if you're thinking about the spectrum of maybe an old school athletic director who was like a player and then a coach, and is not, you probably don't want that, but you don't want to go the total other way either and go after a CEO type who really has no interest in what college athletics are supposed to be or vision. You don't want pure profit-minded either. So I think finding the middle, finding someone experienced, those are probably the two things because, yeah, I mean, I have to imagine the first 10 questions at their introductory press conference, whenever that is, will be somewhat related to investigation scandals because, you know, Ward Manuel, we talked about the positives. Ultimately, his reputation will not outrun the investigations either. I mean, that's when people talk about Ward Manuel 10 years from now, they're going to talk about some of these slip-ups or these investigations that he and his department were reactive on. So everyone can have their own opinion on which positives or negatives meant more, but they're both a part of the story. And so whoever's coming in next, they'll inherit a athletic department that is actually working well in a lot of ways. The facilities, for the most part, across several sports are modernized. You know, it does seem like, you know, including football and basketball just recently had, you know, renovations. And, you know, we'll see how Kyle Whittingham and Mike Boynton Jr. do. But I don't think either of those coaches are, you know, it's not like you're tied in like a $20 million buyout if things go wrong. So I think it's an appealing job, but it's also not for everybody, and including current athletic directors. So I'm kind of fascinated who the targets emerge or who they end up targeting. But, you know, it's a athletic department that routinely is top 10 in the Director's Cup, routinely competes, has recently competed for championships in football and basketball and hockey. You know, so I think in a lot of ways there's stuff already in motion. You know, it's not like you have to totally rebuild the whole thing, but the culture, clearly, you know, there's stuff to be fixed there. And then obviously the ever-present pressure of revenue sharing and revenue maximizing in the modern college athletics era, that has to be a part of it too. So good luck to the people hiring it. I mean, it's kind of hard to find someone who can do all of that, but we'll keep an eye on it. Obviously, read more about it over at the michiganinsider.com, michigan.247sports.com. plenty of stories to come, not just related to this, by the way, you know, fall camp. Big Ten Media Days are next week in Chicago. Alejandro and I will be there, you know, and then fall camp starts. So be sure, and Steve and I are planning to do our position preview podcast series as well as, you know, plenty of other season preview episodes. So be sure to check all that out, themichiganinsider.com, michigan.247sports.com. For Alejandro Zuniga, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Hello, and welcome to Plutophone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, The Matrix, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, or Mean Girls.
That is so fetch.
Just stream it for free on Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.